thank you for joining us. What was it that you were thinking about this morning? What concerns did you have when you walked in the door? Was your heart filled with gladness, or did you have concerns? If you had concerns in your heart, think about that. Make note of it. We'll come back to it in a bit. But for now, let's be glad. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Bless his name, for he is God. He is good, and he is worthy of praise." So let's give thanks to God. Let's worship him together.
Let us pray together. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship you, Lord. Today we worship you, Lord, no matter what the season of our lives. We bring our lives before you, saying, "You are Lord, Lord of our lives." We truly have a reason to sing your praises. We bring our faults and our failures before you, asking your forgiveness. How grateful we are that you promise us, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. We claim this promise now and accept your forgiveness in sincere humbleness. This is our prayer in the battle when triumph is still on its way. We pray for our church as we seek an interim pastor. Be with our session and give them wisdom as they discern, and you reveal whom this person may be. This is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain. We lift up Ruth Coop to you, who is now on hospice care. Be with her family as they make important decisions about her ongoing plan of care. We lift up Mary Jo Yee to you. Give her a sense of calmness and peace as she learns more about her current condition on Thursday. We pray for Wendell Yee and family who are standing by and supporting her. We lift up Elsie Sidner to you, whose husband Al lost his 2-year battle with cancer yesterday. Give her and her family strength and encouragement as they face the days ahead. This is my prayer in the harvest when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received, I shall sow. Be with Dan Ewan as he brings the good news to us today. Let us be open to sharing our gifts as a living sacrifice for the work of your service. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen. I want to invite Dan up here. Dan has a little story to tell. It's for children, but all of us can listen.
When Bob mentioned that we had a sermon that we needed to give, I looked back at some of the sermons that I'd given before, and I found one that I gave 9 years ago that some of you weren't here 9 years ago. And the ones that were here probably don't remember this. I looked through the sermon, and there are huge parts of it that I did not remember. And I tell you, I must have slept through it, part of it. So it was that exciting. But there's a little story that goes along with it, and I can give it to you now. It's a story for like, you know, 5, 6, 7 year olds. So if you're 5, 6, 7, you know, are up to there, this is stories for you. If you're older than that, could you just, no, that's all right. You can listen. In a faraway kingdom, the young girls and boys had a favorite toy shop with all kinds of toys. Each toy was created by Victor von Strand, the greatest toy maker in all of the land. People would come from throughout that whole nation to marvel in awe at his every creation. But one day they gathered from far and from wide, and Charlie the Chopper found some place to hide. Well, Victor got worried and went off to look and searched every corner and cranny and nook. And when he found Charlie, he said, "What is wrong? Why why are you hiding back here for so long? Well, Charlie came out and was full of despair. He had tears in his eyes and he sobbed, "It's not fair. Those cars have four wheels and I've got these rails. Their look is so sleek and mine has this tail. Those cars are the speediest toys on our block, but I'm just as slow as a no-good pet rock." "It's the hand I was dealt. I know that's the brakes, but when I was created, you made some mistakes." Well, his words sure made Victor's heart feel a big tug, and he went up to Charlie, and he gave him a hug, and said, "Remember, dear Charlie, I'm Victor von Strand, the greatest toy maker in all of the land. My toys are not junk. They're not cheap. They're not fakes. Each one is made perfect. I make no mistakes. Those cars are quite fast. Yes, that's perfectly true. But I know the plans that I have for you. Plans that are special and plans that I knew long before I touched your metal to glue." With that, he gave Charlie's propeller a spin. And Charlie felt something new whirling within. And as that propeller spun round and around, it lifted that chopper clear off of the ground. And it spun him up high and then higher than high, till soon you could say he was touching the sky. He scared a big flock of white geese flying by, who heard him exclaim, "Look at me! I can fly!" He giggled and laughed as he flew all about, and throughout that whole kingdom they heard him cry out, "I am created by Victor von Strand, the greatest toy maker in all the land." And he soared all that day and well into the night, and then returned home at the end of his flight. And as he approached, he saw Victor below, still watching, still waiting for Charlie to show. And Charlie said to his maker, "You know, I was wrong. Your plan has been perfect for me all along." Boys and girls, God's a great maker. He made you and me, and there's something important he wants you to be. So he created you with something special in mind. He's got big plans for you, which I pray you will find. Thanks for listening to my story.
Thank you, Dan.
So what's on your mind this morning? What's got your attention? What was it that kept you up last night? What is that concern that you brought in with you in the door when you walked in this morning? In Jesus' day, the answer was simple. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Food, water, clothing. These were the concerns of the day. Not so much anymore. Certainly we have inequities in our society, and we have not by far solved the issues of basic human needs for everyone. But we live in a different society, and these issues of food, water, and clothing have a different twist to it for us. Food. We live in a society where in just about every major intersection there is a fast food restaurant or a grocery store. And water. I went into Safeway across the street and found 72 different items that were all bottled water. Bottled water in small containers, bottled water in big containers, 12 packs, 24 packs, water in bottles, water in cartons. They even had smart water. I don't know what that is. But they've got choices for water. And when I say I don't have a thing to wear, it doesn't mean I need to go shopping. It means I need to do some laundry. You see, in society, our society, Silicon Valley society, when we ask questions of what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear, it's not so much an issue of availability or accessibility, but it's the problem of choices. We have too many choices. Not that our society doesn't have our own issues and concerns to replace those. Chances are that your concerns this morning aren't food, water, and clothing, but you had other concerns that you brought in this morning. You have other concerns to replace them. And as we look at Jesus' advice to the people of his day, let's see how we can apply those same principles and concerns to the issues of our time. I've chosen as our text a passage from Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Let me read it to you. Matthew 6, starting at verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Dear Jesus, may these be your words that go forth to your people in spite of this sinner that stands before them. Amen. So let's play Let's Pretend. Let's say you go to the grocery store across the street and you're looking for some cereal. You need a box of cereal and you go down the cereal aisle and you see that there are some cereals that you like that are on sale, and some cereals that you don't like, or some cereals that you like that aren't on sale, which cereal do you buy? You buy the cereal that's on sale. Why do you do that? Because money is important to us. So you get in the checkout line, and you see that there's three lines that are open that all have long lines, but the express lane has no line in it. Which line do you get in? You get in the express line. Why is that? Because time is important to us. So as you exit the store, you run into someone that you haven't seen in years. Maybe you've gone to grade school with them, and you've lost touch with them. And you start talking with them, reacquainting yourselves with them, trading stories, remembering the old times. And you trade contact information. You promise to get together with that person to renew old acquaintances. Why do you do that? Because memories and relationships are important to us. Money, time, memories, relationships, those are the issues that are important to us. In Jesus' day, they were concerned about food, water, and clothing. But we live in a different time. We live in a different society. And we have different worries and concerns. But one thing that hasn't changed as our societies have changed is the way we approach these concerns. We create jobs to address our concerns. Think of the jobs in Jesus' day. Farmer, shepherd, fishermen all helped to provide food. Many stories that Jesus has told happened around a well or a vineyard that all concerned with having something to drink. And there were tanners and garment makers to provide clothing. In fact, Jesus was a carpenter and Paul was a tent maker. Both were used to provide shelter, to provide protection from the elements, much like clothing does. And if you think about it, we do the same thing in our society. We create jobs to help us meet our greatest concerns. Money. We have a whole financial industry, complete with banks, investment companies, stockbrokers, insurance agents, to help us with our money concerns. Time. Sure, we can look at all the time-saving apps we have on our phones and our devices, and the delivery services that we have to save us time. But don't forget about the healthcare industry. Don't forget about pharmaceutical companies and diet companies and health clubs all around because of the issue that people die. We run out of time. And so we have these huge industries in place to try to expand our time, trying to expand our time here on Earth, to make us healthier so we live healthier lives so that we can live longer and have more time. Memories and relationships. We can point to various social media apps and that our society has created to help us build relationships and cherish memories. But also the whole entertainment industry is about this, isn't it? Movies, destination theme parks, vacation travel plans, cruise lines. These all exist to help us build memories and sustain relationships. Society pushes us towards jobs that help us to satisfy our concerns and worries. And when Jesus says, but seek first, it means he has another way to go. Instead of making it our jobs to satisfy our worries and concerns, he says, seek first, but seek first the kingdom of God. So occupy yourself with what your concerns are, or occupy yourself with seeking first the kingdom of God. You might end up with the same profession, but the way you go about it, Jesus says, is completely different. There's a big difference between if you are most concerned with your worries or most concerned with the kingdom of God. See if it isn't true. Which would you rather have? An auto mechanic that was trying to satisfy his or her own worries, or an auto mechanic that was first primarily concerned with the kingdom of God? Would you rather have a boss that was primarily concerned with his or her own worries and concerns, or a boss who is primarily concerned with seeking first the kingdom of God? Wouldn't this world be a better place if there were less drivers concerned with their worries at the time and more drivers concerned with seeking first the kingdom of God? You might have the same profession and the same task at hand, but everything changes when the motivation is different. So here's the deal. This approach will not work if we seek the kingdom of God and God has nothing for us to do. Implied in the command, seek first the kingdom of God, is the assumption that when you do, God will give you something to do. You would be very suspicious of me if I told you that I spent the last 30 years seeking first the kingdom of God and God has not given me anything to do. You would wonder about how I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. If you're not making it your job to satisfy the worries of this world, if instead you are seeking first the kingdom of God, then count on him to give you a job to do. It might be the same profession that you're doing now, but it might be a different job. There might be something different in the approach that God wants you to take. There might be something different in what God wants to accomplish in that profession. Let me give you an example. About once a quarter, here at West Valley Presbyterian Church, we have Service Worship Sunday, where we cancel our normal worship service here in the sanctuary, and instead we worship God by going out and serving in the community. At one of the first Service Worship Sundays, I went to City Team, where we provided a worship service and a barbecued lunch to the needy there. And on that Sunday, I met a man, we'll call him J.D. It's not his real name, they're not his real initials. But J.D. found himself in a period of time in his life where his profession was prison inmate. But J.D. decided that he was not going to spend his time worrying and concerned about the common concerns of the time in his current situation. Instead, he concerned himself with seeking first the kingdom of God. And so he created a 15-week, 15-step system on how to reconstruct your life. He talked about how to remove the destructive habits in your life, how to replace those habits with healthy habits, the influence of the Holy Spirit, how to reconcile relationships. 15-week program. And he said he would meet with people, other inmates, one-on-one in a confidential setting, as confidential as you can be within the prison system there. But he'd be off to the side talking to an inmate one-on-one, and other people would get a whiff of what was going on and would come up to them during their session and say, "Hey, I heard there's something going on here. How can I get in on this?" And he'd have to say, "You know what? This is confidential. I'm meeting with this person one-on-one. Can we set up a time later on where we can talk about this? I'd be happy to discuss it with you later. But we have to do it later." And he counted all the times during his incarceration where he was meeting with someone one-on-one and someone else wanted to get in and he had to put them off. He said it took place 95 times since he was doing this 15-week program with other people. J.D. was seeking first the kingdom of God. And the way he fulfilled his time as prison inmate was completely different. The great thing about this verse is that it implies that if you seek first the kingdom of God, then God will have a job for you to do. I love the way this church has people seeking first the kingdom of God. And I love the way God has provided people with jobs to do. Kevin and Ariana helping lending their gifts of music with us this morning was awesome. Bill Day putting the roof on McCaddy Hall is awesome. God giving people a job to do. God has a job for everyone. There are no conditions placed on this verse. And J.D. figured that out. Even within the prison system, he found that God had a job for him. You could be retired. God has something he wants you to do. You could be unemployed. God has something he wants you to do. God always has a job for you. You never fall off of God's project plan. One of the most influential people in my life was a person I rarely ever met. I almost never talked to this person, but we had a family friend named Louise. Louise was homebound because of some medical condition that I don't know really what it was. She was not able to leave her house very often, but she was still seeking first the kingdom of God. And I'm told that for the first 29 years of my life and the last 29 years of hers, that she prayed for me every day. Do you know how awesome that is? Every day for 29 years, Louise went before the awesome, holy, glorious throne of the Almighty, Omnipotent, Omniscient, Creator of the universe and petitioned Him on my behalf. Every day for 29 years. I don't know much about Louise. I don't know a thing that belongs on her resume. But I do know this. Aunt Louise prayed. And she prayed for me every day for 29 years. Every day for 29 years, God heard about me. Every day for 29 years, God talked to Louise about me. I'm sure glad that she had a job to do. No matter what your situation in life, God has a job for you. The eye does not say to the hand, "I have no need of you." And the head does not say to the feet, "I have no need of you." And God says to no one here, "I have no need of you." God has a job for everyone. There is full employment in the kingdom of God. The point of the passage is this, that as we seek first the kingdom of God with our work, with our jobs, with our tasks, with what we are doing, then all these other things that we normally look to our jobs to fulfill, the food, the water, the clothing, the money, the time, the memories, the relationships, the fulfillment, the self-worth, the purpose in life, all these things that we look to our jobs to fulfill will be added to you as well if we seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be given to you. So what was it that occupied your mind when you came to church this morning? Seek first the kingdom of God. And even that concern, even that basic concern, will be resolved for you as well. Sometimes I wonder, when did it happen? When did it happen that I stopped believing that it was true? When did it happen that we stopped believing that it was true? I mean, we believe it's true for our kids, and we nodded approvingly when we heard the words this morning. But when did we stop believing that it was true, that the same words that we heard for our kids are still true for you and for me today? That God's a great maker. He made you and me. And there's something important he wants you to be. So he created you with something special in mind. And he's got big plans for you still that I pray you will find. And if it's true for our kids, and you believe it's true for you and for me today, then isn't it also true for us, our church? Isn't it also true that God's a great maker? That he made you and me? And there's something important he wants us to be. So he created us with something special in mind. And he's got big plans for us, which I pray we will find. Dear Jesus, show us your plan. Teach us your way. Build us this church. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for coming to worship today.
If you would like individual confidential prayer, we have prayers up here for you. If you're looking for a job and you don't know what God's job is for you, they'd be happy to pray about this with you. Or if you just want to talk to somebody about it, I'm sure Dan would be happy to talk to you about it. I'll be happy to talk to you about it, any session member. But we want you to find that job that God has for you, that you may be searching for.
Hear the words from Isaiah to the people of God who is going through a very challenging time in their lives. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my victorious right hand. Brothers and sisters, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. May this God of love and all his plans go with you and this church now and forever. Amen.